This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, Christ the Lord. What a wonderful sermon hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The words of that hymn point us back to the tiny village of Bethlehem, where the eternal Son of God was born of the Virgin, just as Scripture teaches. In fact, you remember what the angels said to the shepherds? They said, today, in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. Meaning, someone who will save you, not from the Roman Empire that was oppressing Jerusalem at the time, not from your poverty, because shepherds were very poor. No, a Savior from their sin. That's why the shepherds were so terrified when the angels appeared. When the angels appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them, that meant they were in the presence of God. And the shepherds knew from the Bible that sinners cannot be in the presence of God and live. No wonder they were terrified. But then the angels said, don't be afraid. I have good news. Today in the town of David in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. Someone who will save you from your sins, remove that barrier that is between you and God, that you might be His dearly loved people. And then they pointed them to the Savior. They said, He is Christ the Lord. When they called Him the Christ, they meant the Savior promised all throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. The Hebrews called Him the Messiah. The Greek translation of Messiah was the Christ. So they're telling the shepherds, that promised Savior you heard about all through the Old Testament, He's finally here. But then they added something. They said, Christ the Lord. You see, that was something that many people didn't quite understand. The Savior, the Christ, would not be just an ordinary man. He would be God Himself in human flesh. Christ the Lord. It was the Creator of the universe lying in that feeding trough we call a manger. What an awesome Savior we worship tonight. However, I'd like you to listen closely again to the fourth stanza of that hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's very important for understanding why we're here tonight, or why we're in church any Sunday for that matter. The fourth stanza of this hymn reads, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Now, what are the words of this hymn trying to teach us? Simply put, these words are actually a prayer. We are using these words to pray to the Son of God who was born in Bethlehem, and we are asking Jesus to be born in us today. In other words, tonight's service is not merely about remembering a historical fact. Tonight's service is not merely about remembering Christ's birth in the past. No. Tonight's service is also about us having faith in Jesus every moment of our lives in the present. That's why tonight's service is reminding us that we need Jesus more than just Christmas and Easter. We need to hear His word every week, every day, every moment. He needs to be born in our hearts today. Tonight is not about remembering something in the past. It's about rejoicing in a miracle that God wants to happen in the present, every day that we live. Our sermon title tonight is Open Your Hearts. You saw that theme printed on the front of your bulletin cover. Open your hearts. But I have a question for you. Is that really possible? Is it possible for us to open our hearts to Jesus? You see, Scripture clearly teaches that we sinners can't our hearts to God. In fact, Scripture teaches that the natural bent of our sinful hearts is to push Jesus away. That's why we often find ourselves sinning against the Lord, doing the things He forbids, failing to do the good things He wants us to do, failing to come to church when He bids us to come and feed us with His gifts. No, it's not natural for us sinners to open our hearts to Jesus. Listen to these words from Jeremiah chapter 17 and listen closely. Jeremiah writes, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." Now, apart from faith in Jesus, that verse should scare us all to death, including me. Did you hear what God said? God says that if He rewards us based on our works, then we will get what our deeds deserve. And of course, the question is, what do our deeds deserve? Well, because all of our deeds flow from our sinful hearts and minds, they deserve God's wrath. As the Apostle Paul writes at the end of Romans chapter 6, he says, "The wages of sin is death." So even though you think you're the most wonderful person in the world, even though you might think, well, I'm not like those people out at the state penitentiary, I'm not like those people I see in the bars every night, I'm not like those people that end up in jail, I'm pretty good, so I think if God gives me what I deserve, I'll go to heaven. Wrong. Remember when Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves crucified with Him, one on His right, one on His left. The one hardened his heart and mocked Jesus, but the other, by God's grace, was brought to repentance. And you know what this thief said about Jesus? He said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but Jesus has done nothing wrong." However, lest we think that only a few bad people, like those two thieves, are the ones who deserve God's wrath, listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 3. He says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The word "all" includes you and me. Again, in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Simply put, Paul is teaching that we all inherit Adam's sinful nature at the moment of our conception. That's why King David was moved by the Holy Spirit to write these words in Psalm 51. He wrote, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Well, now we know why we sinners can't open our own hearts to Jesus, because we're enemies of God by nature. Listen to what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1. He says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." And then later in Romans chapter 8, he writes, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Wow. If we take seriously what the Bible says about our hearts, then how is it possible for this to happen tonight? How is it possible for us sinners to open our hearts to our Lord and Savior and have forgiveness and eternal life in His name? My friends, our hope is that God doesn't give us what our deeds deserve. Instead, God gives us Jesus. Jesus was born to save us from our sinful hearts. Jesus was born to suffer the wrath of God in our place. We forget about this in a culture that often doesn't even mention the name of Jesus during Christmas. And if it does, it just sentimentalizes the little baby, and we sit there and go, oh, how cute he is, and we forget why he was born. Those little hands that curled around Mary's fingers were later nailed to a cross for your sin and mine. That's why Jesus was born. He was born to save us from our sinful hearts and to suffer God's wrath in our place. Therefore, when we confess our sins and when we trust in Jesus, then we can know that we are forgiven and have the hope of eternal life in God's love. But that leads to a question. If we're saved through faith in Jesus, then how is it possible for us sinners to have faith? I mean, didn't we just learn from God's Word that we sinners can't open our hearts to Jesus? Yes, that's true. But that's where more good news comes in. You see, the very thing that we sinners can't do, God does for us. Listen carefully to these words from Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel writes, quoting God, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Did you hear that? God Himself rips out our heart of unbelief and rebellious pride, and He gives us a new heart of humble repentance and faith in Jesus. Let me give you another example of this. On one occasion, if you read the book of Acts, you will find that the Apostle Paul was preaching God's Word to a crowd. And in this crowd was a woman named Lydia. She was one of the few people that responded to Paul's sermon. But why did she? Well, listen to what it says in Acts 16, verse 14. It says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. There we have it, my friends. God works through His word of judgment to crush our sinful hearts. That's what He was doing in that verse from Jeremiah when He said, the heart is evil beyond measure. I will give people what they deserve when I examine their hearts and minds. God was saying that to humble us. He was saying that to get us to say, whoa, I better take my sin seriously, because if I don't, I'm going to end up judged now and for eternity, and I will deserve every bit of it. But God only does that to humble us. He humbles us only that He might lift us up with Jesus. You see, God knows as long as we don't take our sins seriously, as long as we think we can get by in the world without Him, our hearts are closed to Jesus. So God does everything He can to humble us. He does everything He can to get us to take our sins seriously, so that like the shepherds, we will run to our Lord and Savior and rejoice in who He is for us every day of our lives. God works through His word of judgment to crush our sinful hearts of stone, so that He can work through His word about Jesus to give us new hearts of repentance and faith. And my friends, after God gives us new hearts of faith, the Holy Spirit will then move us to pray that God will keep our hearts of faith alive and healthy. As King David writes in Psalm 51, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. My friends, that's why it's so important for us to be into God's Word, not just a couple times a year, but every day. We need to be into God's Word. We need to hear it and read it and study it on a regular basis, because God uses His Word to give us hearts of faith, and He uses that same Word to keep our hearts of faith alive and strong. My friends, if the Word of God is not part of our lives on a regular basis, then our faith in Christ can only grow weak and may possibly even die. But when we are hearing and reading God's Word on a regular basis, Then our hearts of faith will be kept alive and will grow stronger every day. You see, my friends, the Word of God is not some empty, irrelevant information. No. The Word of God is living and active. For example, if you read the book of Genesis, in the beginning God said, "Let there be light," and light existed. In the same way, tonight God looks at you and He says, "Open your heart." And the Holy Spirit opens your heart so that Jesus might enter and give you His mercy, love, and life. We heard about this miracle in our first reading. Listen to it again. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God used His angels to preach His word to the shepherds. God opened their hearts to believe the message about Jesus, their Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And in the same way, God has used people to bring His word to you so that He might open your heart to receive Jesus. Now, one of the ways that God did this for many of you was in the waters of holy baptism, where God's word in the water regenerated your heart. We heard about this miracle in our reading from Titus. Paul said, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." So whether you were baptized as an infant or later as an adult, God worked through baptism to give you a new heart of faith. But my friends, we need to remember that our new hearts of faith have to be kept alive. The new heart God gives us in baptism needs to be nourished by God's Word. And He does this as we continue to attend services, as we go to Bible class, as we share God's Word with each other at family devotions, or as we have our own personal time reading Scripture and praying. That's how God keeps us alive in the faith, that we might grow strong and not fall away from Him. In addition, God's Word also makes it possible for us to receive Christ's body and blood tonight in Holy Communion. Just as it was possible for God to dwell in the womb of Mary, God also makes it possible for Jesus to give us His body and blood tonight, so that we might be assured of His mercy, and that we might know that He actually dwells within us, that we might have the strength to live as His people every day. My friends, tonight's sermon title is "Open Your Hearts." The good news is that the very thing that we sinners can't do, God Himself does for us. God says, "Open your heart," and He thereby gives you the ability to confess your sins and trust in Jesus, who was born to save you and who promised to be with you always to the very end of the age. Sadly, there are some people who resist the Holy Spirit because they refuse to believe God's Word. But my friends, God does not want that for you. That's why God sent Jesus for you. And so God points you to His Son tonight and He says, "Open your heart." And by the grace of God, you will be moved to pray the following tonight and every day that you live. You will be moved to pray, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel." Amen.